Welcome to our service for Candlemas, the name traditionally given to the Feast of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple. Candlemas has two great themes taken from that event, thanksgiving and purification. In the familiar words of our Old Testament reading today from Malachi, "He is like a refiner's fire, and he will purify the sons of Levi until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." And we begin with a great prayer for purity of heart, the Welsh hymn, Calon Lan. The Old Testament reading today is from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. With the challenge of Malachi ringing in our ears, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect, the Candlemas. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple in substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts, by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
We are marching in the light of God.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. They probably all thought she was mad. Daft old bat, never been the same since her husband died. No children, you know, no grandchildren, never works. So she hangs round the temple morning, noon and night, getting in the way. Must be 80 if she's a day. She was trying to tell me one of her prophecies the other day. But who ever heard of a woman prophet anyway? I did try to get the high priest to have her banned, but he says she only comes to the sacrifices every day, fasts and prays, nothing he can do about it. But I do know he's embarrassed by her too. The head of the Praetorian Guard was around last week, and she buttonholed him. I mean, here we are trying to convince the Romans we can run our own country, and we can't even control an old bird like her. The last thing the Romans need to hear is that we're waiting for the Messiah and the redemption of Jerusalem. I mean, why rock the boat? The temple's in profit, Herod's got the zealots under control, and we're doing more trade than ever through Caesarea. Did I tell you I got a lovely deal on some Etruscan wine? I know a bloke who can get you a cask of it, if you like. Perhaps we should try giving the old biddy some of that, if she hasn't been at the source already. Come to think of it, that might be the most likely explanation. But Anna was watching. Somehow she knew deep in her soul that it was here, in his temple, that the Lord would show his hand. So she watched them, the time servers like Annas and Caiaphas, so desperate to keep the Romans sweet and hold on to their power that they'd make any kind of compromise. Despised by the Pharisees, of course, and quite right too, and frightened of the zealots, not because they thought they were a real political threat, but because they showed up the fact that the high priests had no zeal of their own, no zeal for the Lord in their hearts. And I watched the good ones, though, too, priests like old Zechariah, but everybody had been laughing at him when he was struck dumb, and now everyone was scared of him, because he could talk again since his son had been born. She was always pleased when he was on duty. It was a sign, that boy being born. The time was coming. She knew the time was coming. Let them laugh, let them sneer. She'd just pray harder and fast more often. Every morning she woke up, hoping that today might be the day. She envied Simeon a bit. It was easier for a man. People expected men to have strong religious opinions. She envied him, but she loved him even more. Not in that way, of course. Those days were long gone. Anyway, he must have been, 30, 40 years younger than her. He was one of the ones who was kind to her. But even that wasn't the point. The light was in him. That was what she loved. Day after day, she watched them, the temple servants and the Levites, tidying up after the sacrifices and trimming the lamp of the presence, going through the motions. And she knew too well, that there was no light of the presence behind their eyes, and no light of their presence in their souls. Well, most of them, anyway. Most of them had never made a true sacrifice in their lives. But Simeon was different. You could just tell. You could see in his eyes that the lights were on, and he was alive with hope and expectation. And she knew that Simeon was watching too, and she believed him. Believed him when he said that he'd been promised that he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died. She hoped for his sake it was true. For his sake and for hers and for the sake of the city and the sake of the land. For Simeon, some days the light shone brighter than others. He didn't know where it was that he should expect to see the Lord's anointed, but the temple seemed a more likely place than any. He loved those words from the prophet. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant who you delight in. He often wondered, though, who the you was that Malachi was referring to. According to the rest of the book of Malachi, there wasn't much seeking of the Lord going on in his time, much like now. But no, there were still some whose delight was in the Lord. Here was old Anna again, faithful as ever, fasting, praying, prophesying to anyone who would listen. He was one of the ones who always stopped to hear her. It seemed the least he could do. 84 she was now. He'd miss her when she was gone. Sometimes he thought it was only her prayers that kept the lamp of the presence burning. He hadn't seen her yet today, but he hoped he would, because today was one of his deep-filled days, one of the days when the Holy Spirit laid the weight of expectation so heavy in his heart that it was like a physical pain. He could no more have stayed away from the temple today than fly from the top of the tower. Then he heard a baby cry behind him. Just another baby, just another happy couple come to give thanks for a safe delivery. He'd seen so many of them over the years of waiting. It wasn't a baby he was looking for, or at least he'd never thought so until now. I mean, if it was going to be a baby, how on earth would you know that this was the one? And afterwards, he could never really tell anyone how he did know. How he did know that this baby, this one baby, was different. That this one was the one. He'd always secretly hoped, though it was more than he thought he'd been promised, he'd always secretly hoped that he would see the Messiah face to face. But it had never occurred to him that he would hold him in his arms and bless him. It was more than he could ever have hoped for. But why then? It was wonderful, of course, but why? Why did it fill him not just with the joy he'd expected, but with something else which felt very close to grief? He'd looked forward to this moment for so long, and he'd always imagined that it would be a release of pure joy, and that after it, he told people, after it, he could die happy. But in that moment, why could he see with this awful clarity the pain that was to come for this child and not the glory? How could he know, as he looked at this little mother, the sword that would pierce her soul? He got the impression, though, that somehow she knew, or at least something, somehow that nothing he said could surprise her. She listened and took it in, word for word, weighing every word, and he knew that she would take it to her heart. And so it finished. Then when at last he had to give the baby back, he found that he'd no words left to say. No words, and only two thoughts. He could die happy now, but first, he must tell Anna.
Refine as fire. heart's one desire is to be
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. En tad yr hynwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled dy dernas gwneled dy wychlith, megis yn y ne fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddau o'n unau ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwan ni brofedigaeth, Eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis eitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant. Yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendour of your whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word, and for the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience, by which he overcame temptation, for his dying, through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Almighty God, the Creator and Preserver of all humankind, we humbly beseech thee for all sorts and conditions of people, that thou wouldest be pleased to make thy ways known to them, thy saving grace to all nations. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the good estate of the Catholic Church, that it may be so guided and governed by thy good Spirit, that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth, and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray thee to guide and direct all who govern the nations of the world, especially our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and those who are set in authority over us, that we and all people may be justly and quietly governed. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are afflicted or distressed, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them endurance under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear. Let light perpetual shine upon them, and in thy loving wisdom and almighty power work in them the good purpose of thy perfect will. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem, in what is now Israel. We pray, Lord, for a lasting peace in the area, and particularly for justice for all who live in the land where once our Lord Jesus Christ lived. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, who has promised to hear the petitions of those who ask in thy Son's name, grant that those things which we have faithfully asked, according to thy will, may effectually be obtained, to the relief of our necessity and to the setting forth of thy glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.